This past September, I celebrated the 35th anniversary of my ordination. And then just a few months afterwards, this past December, I began my 20th year as the pastor of this faith community, Queen Anne Lutheran. As you might imagine, both of these occasions suggested a time for reflection, a time when I considered the highs and lows of 35 years of parish ministry, the best and worst moments in those 35 years. And I'm happy to say that the highs have far exceeded the lows. But I was unable to decide what was the best and worst of 35 years, because every time I thought of something that was the best, I either laughed or winced. And the same was true for what was the worst. To give you some example, there probably are a few of here, please don't raise your hand or anything, but I wasn't sure if this was my best or my worst moment. About a year after I was here, Jackie and I did a Sonny and Cher routine. I thought about that as probably my worst moment, although there is one person in this congregation who reminds me of it constantly and says, it's the best thing you've ever done here. Enough said. There was one thing, however, that I thought about as the hardest thing a pastor has to ask a congregation to do. Harder than a capital campaign or a building project. Harder than deciding what kind of conference table should go in the conference room. Absolutely more difficult than asking you to go door to door, visiting your neighbors, the people who sit in the pews with you, and ask them to make a pledge. Remember in the days those were called EMVs, every member visitation. Now you're probably wondering, what is this difficult thing? Asking the congregation to be silent. Okay, that's about as much time as we can take, isn't it? What is it about silence that is so difficult for us? Perhaps because we have come to believe that when we listen, we are listening for a voice. We're listening for a word. We're listening to a voice maybe inside our heads or a voice that is calling to us. But there is so little of our time in which we can truthfully say, I am unplugged. How hard it is to listen to the sounds of silence. In today's gospel reading from Luke, on the eve of entering into the holy season of Lent, we have unfinished business. We must first accompany Peter and John and James to the top of the mountain with Jesus. Here is where a most strange and wonderful thing happens. Jesus is transfigured. Here is the word we don't use. You probably can't even remember the last time you used the word transfiguration, if you've ever used it. We're familiar with words like transformation, or makeover, remodel, or renovate, but transfiguration? What is it? The evangelist St. Luke tells us that Jesus' presence on the mountaintop, his appearance was altered. And the very same voice that spoke to him at the beginning of the Epiphany season, when he rose up out of the waters of the Jordan where he was baptized by his cousin John, that very same voice came in a cloud that overshadowed all of them. And it said exactly the same thing it said when Jesus was baptized. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. It is ironic, I think, how many people are forever quoting Jesus or misquoting him, but never listening to him. Even in the church, we don't listen to Jesus. But we are happy enough to quote Jesus using red letters in the Bible when Jesus agrees with us, or at least we think he does, to bolster our argument, our belief, or whatever it is that we value and support. But to listen to Jesus, that's the rub. Because we have to put our lives on pause to hear Jesus, to actually listen to the sounds of silence, the silence that is our own lives. It is the one thing we desperately want to avoid, to have to silently listen to our own lives. What is your life telling you? How uneasy are we with this idea of listening to silence? Remember the last time you made a phone call and they put you on hold? You listened to the music, or perhaps every 30 seconds that robotic voice that said, "Your call is important to us," which you never believe. "Your call is important to us, and it will be answered in the order in which it was received." And then all of a sudden, there's no music. There's no robotic voice. There's nothing. And you're on the phone, and all of a sudden you feel cut off, and you're forgotten and forsaken, and it's like, we want to feel connected. And we especially want to feel connected to God. But what if the sound of God's voice is silence? What was the sound of God's voice when his own son, his beloved, the chosen, cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And do you know what the answer was? The answer was, "Silence is so heavy to carry. We pray and we pray, like Jesus in the garden. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. He prayed that the voice of his heavenly Father would answer him, and it did not. The silence weighs us down like a boulder that must be shifted from one shoulder to the other. To listen to God is to hear the sounds of silence. When Jesus and Peter and James and John went down that mountain, they took with them a promise. It was the promise of the voice of the one in the cloud who said, "This is my son, the beloved, the chosen. With him I am well pleased." That was all that Jesus would take with him as he set his face toward Jerusalem. All he would take with him was the remembrance of that voice and the promise. It is all that you and I have as well. We didn't get it on a mountaintop. No, we got it at a baptismal font. There was no Moses or Elijah, but Grandma and Grandpa were there. There were godparents and there were sponsors or a couple of tenors who you sing with every Thursday night in choir. Because in the waters of holy baptism, what was said to Jesus was said to each and every baptized son and daughter, "You are my child. With you I am well pleased." It is that promise that we take with us into the world. In those days and those nights when we're on our knees, frustrated that our prayer is not answered, we listen in the sounds of silence. We listen again to hear that promise. "You are my child. With you I am well pleased." We come together to this table as the body of Christ, the communion of saints. And God keeps silent. There is simply the sound of us eating and drinking together, the body of Christ. For if God were to answer every time, God would be little more than an idol. And our prayers would be little more than threats to force God's hand. In the sounds of silence, we hear the promise, "You are my child. With you I am well pleased." God indeed does answer. And so we're going to go forward now down the mountain. And we're going to come and we're going to receive his body and his blood. And in the silence, we're going to move toward the world, holding and grasping on to the one who is the chosen one. And when Moses and Elijah and the law and the prophets are gone, all we are left with is Jesus and the cross. But to him we cling, and to the memory of God's voice in the waters of baptism, the memory of the promise that is spoken every time we eat of this body and drink this blood. "You are my child, your sins are forgiven." And even in the sounds of silence, the silence of our own lives, we can still hear God's promise. "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is faith. This is trust, to hear God's promise, even in the silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.